Hello, and welcome to Modern Makers, where we explore arts, crafts, technology, and entrepreneurship. I'm your host, Julia Griffey.
Today we are talking with Josh Smith from the Green Beetle Shop, and his website is www.thegreenbeetleshop.com. And you are based in Indianapolis, Indiana, is that correct?
Actually, we're in Northwest Indiana. We're in a small town called Wheatfield.
Oh, okay. Got it. So you're pretty close to Chicago, huh?
Yeah, we're about an hour and a half from Chicago. We're about 2 hours from Indianapolis.
Okay. You got to tell us the story. We are so intrigued. We found your stuff through the one-of-a-kind show in Chicago. It definitely is unique. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got started doing this type of work and growing your business?
Well, I guess it all started when I was a child. Ever since I was a kid, I've loved insects. And I used to love to read about them and try and find them around my family farm. And so that was kind of where it started. I've always had an appreciation for the natural world and insects especially. So that just kind of grew throughout my elementary and high school career. It wasn't anything I did very seriously. It was just always a passion and a hobby of mine. When I went to college, I actually started going to school for media arts and animation at the Art Institute of Indianapolis. And when I was there, a lot of my projects started to take on like an insect theme. I would model bugs in 3D and I would make animations of them for fun projects. So I kind of kept that passion alive in college. And then when I was about a sophomore or a junior in college, I found out that you could actually import specimens from around the world. That wasn't really something that I was familiar with. And so I started importing specimens and teaching myself how to work with them, how to spread them and mount them, and how to work with them in the various ways that you need to create display-worthy pieces from them. And once I had that down, it probably took me a little over a year or almost 2 years, I started making my own, you know, shadow box frames and my own terrarium displays and various things. So in 2013, when I moved home from Indianapolis back to Northwest Indiana, is when I started it as a business.
Was that your intention initially when you started trying to figure out how to mount the insects?
Really, I mean, I just thought it was something cool to try as a hobby while I was in school. I was working and going to school full time, and I just was looking for something to do, just to kind of, nurture that passion for the insect world a little bit. I started finding out there were suppliers and breeders, and there were, you know, villages raising insects all over the world, various things in the entomology world. And I just started finding those and playing around. I really had no intention of having a business at that time. That was probably 2011. Then in 2013, I found out that there was a market for the pieces that I've been creating. And that's kind of where it took off.
How did you figure that out?
Well, I guess the first thing was that I just kind of stumbled across a few on Etsy. To be honest, I was just on Etsy, just, you know, surfing around and found that people were making these at varying levels of quality. There were fine handmade pieces. There were pieces that were just in hobby frames, really, to be honest. And I said, okay, well, there's people doing this. And I started stumbling across people on the West Coast and the East Coast that have been doing this for a long time. They have stores and have very successful Etsy shops. And they travel around the United States selling their wares. And that was really where I figured out that this could be a career.
So was Etsy your first selling platform for your pieces?
It was. That was where I made my first sales. They weren't many, and they were kind of far between because I was new. And learning Etsy is kind of its own beast to do. You know, you kind of have to research Etsy a little bit because you can't just put something up for sale and expect to sell it. So there's actually a lot of back-end work for Etsy, and that was something I was never familiar with. I had no idea really what Etsy was until I heard about it and was shown what it was. And so it really took me a little while to figure out, you know, how to photograph work and how to tag things and how to write descriptions. And after I made probably half a dozen sales, I said, okay, I really need to improve my product and improve my quality. So I kind of took a little break and started refining things. And it's really taken off since then.
So do you still sell through Etsy?
I currently do not sell on Etsy anymore. We actually made the decision earlier this year to remove our Etsy store temporarily while we focused on shows and while we focused on wholesale and things of that nature. We find that Our products really do sell better face-to-face, mm-hmm. but that initial shop on Etsy was really kind of what got it going. And there's kind of this stigma that people have to be on Etsy to make a living with a handmade product, and that's not necessarily true. It is a great platform. I will sing its praises all day, but it's definitely a lot of work, and it kind of lends itself better to products that are easily repeatable, because if people see a product that they like, they want to be able to get it.
Right.
And if it's the only one, people tend to get a little bit aggravated, and that's kind of what I was finding, is that if I only had one of something, or my shop sold out and it took me a while to fill it up again, that I was actually doing myself more harm than good being on Etsy. So that was kind of a big learning curve.
I would think that your product is something that people don't know they want until they see it.
That's very true. It's kind of a very niche market, and everyone has a relationship with insects. It's usually one of two things. It's usually either I love insects or I hate insects. And so our job really has been to present insects in a way that they're approachable and that it focuses on their natural beauty and their natural design. And just points to something larger than ourselves. And I think that's what people really respond to. And you just can't quite get that from our photography. And our photography is stellar. My wife's a digital photographer. It's amazingly styled and amazingly well shot. But even at that point, it doesn't quite read the way that it does in person.
Well, with that said, do you get much traction from sites like Pinterest and Instagram, where they just happen to see a picture of what you're doing and want to buy your products?
Yes. Besides Etsy, social media has been huge for us. Like I said, we do have a web presence. We have a website, creambeetleshop.com. And we're also on pretty much every social media outlet. You know, we're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest as Green Beetle Shop, so you can find us there. And that's really, it's really started to grow. It's taken a while because it was kind of a grassroots kind of a thing, but it's really starting to take off. You know, we get now several dozen new Instagram followers daily from our posts of just what we're doing and what we're creating. Our Facebook is really kind of lighting up with people that we've partnered with and people that are past customers or fans. Mm-hmm. Our Pinterest page is a great way to figure out kind of what inspires us. So we found that story is very important. You have to have a mission and a passion for what you do, and letting people be a part of that story through social media and your website is very, very crucial in today's market for just about any product, especially handmade products.
Through your social media participation, or even in just going to the shows and whatnot, have you had any unexpected success that made your website blow up unexpectedly? Like, did you get some unexpected press?
Definitely. We're very humble here. You know, my wife and I and my team, we are always surprised when things, you know, do better than we expected. You know, every time we go to a show, even if we've been there before, you don't quite know what you're going to get. You know, anytime we travel for a wholesale opportunity, you don't quite understand what it's going to turn into. And sometimes you're disappointed, but then sometimes you're surprised. And for example, you know, you're talking about the one-of-a-kind show in Chicago. That was really big for us because that was kind of one of our very first shows in Chicago. It was one of our very first shows of that size. And to go there and get the response that we had and the sales that we had, quite frankly, it was just mind-blowing to us. We didn't think that we were quite at that level yet, but we definitely went for it. And we were rewarded with lots of fans and lots of sales and probably some partnerships that will last a very long time. And so that has been a very unexpected success as well. Just being able to travel to larger shows, either for wholesale or retail, and just really meet people. And that's really what has made the difference, is me and my team being able to meet the people and share what we do.
Do you think that being in a smaller town in the Midwest has any type of influence on your business? Obviously, the cost of living is lower in a smaller town, but I'm really curious about businesses like yours that are, you're not dependent on the local economy.
Correct. Yeah, we actually, we're not in any stores locally. We don't really have any partnerships to speak of with any place that's very local to us. So we travel anywhere from 30 miles to several hundred miles to do just about all of our business and to get all of our materials. So that's definitely sometimes a challenge. But I think it's one that we are kind of uniquely positioned here in Indiana. We're in Northwest Indiana. So like I said, we're used to driving a few hours to Indianapolis, and that's no big deal. We're used to driving a little under 2 hours to go to Chicago, and that's no big deal either. So we're kind of centrally located between two very large but very different cities, and that has been very helpful. You know, we can hop on the interstate, go just about anywhere we want from Indiana, and it's just as easy to go to Chicago and hop on a flight as it is to drive just about anywhere. So that's definitely made the difference, being comfortable with big cities like Indianapolis and bigger cities like Chicago. From where we are, I don't think we would be where we are today if we weren't from a small town in northwest Indiana. So that's kind of cool. When you're growing up, you don't think something like that's possible. You know, in a rural farming community and a small town kid from a farm. But that's really kind of a unique thing that we have today, is the ability for just about anyone, no matter where you are in the world, to have a passion and develop it into a career.
Mm-hmm. What kind of stores carry your stuff?
We are currently in several stores. Kind of our flagship partnership store was a pretty cool store in Valparaiso, Indiana, called Society. I'll give them a little shout out. Thanks, Carrie. she really kind of was our first wholesale opportunity. And from the moment we met, we both fell in love with each other's products and the store. She loved what we did, and she really kind of took that initial investment in us, and it has paid off from there. It was kind of the store that started it all, really. You know, we wouldn't be where we are today without Society and its wonderful owner, Carrie. And so that was our first store. Our next store, we actually partnered with a small, really cool barbershop in Indianapolis in the Broad Ripple area called Warfley Barbershop. And that's a really cool place as well. And those were kind of our two first places. And we're now expanding into Chicago and other areas of Illinois. We have a partnership with a great store there called Modco in Hyde Park. And we are actually now also expanding into other areas of Indiana as well. And the wholesale opportunities are growing every day. Just from the one-of-a-kind show, we've had half a dozen or more new wholesale opportunities, and that has been just really great to see. We started, like I said, with one store, and now it looks like by the end of the year, we're going to be in the probably a 10 or a dozen stores across the Midwest.
That's exciting. Anything in St. Louis?
Not yet. if you know of anybody that would be interested, yeah, let us know.
So what advice would you give to people who wanted to develop a handmade business?
Oh, that's a very good question. Well, the first thing about a handmade business is you have to have a good product. But that being said, don't be afraid to show people your product at early stages. I have a tendency to be a perfectionist sometimes, and I didn't always want to show people my products in their early versions. And it's really important to do that, to celebrate that success and to build from there, because you don't quite know where to go until you have some of those successes. You don't quite know what works and what doesn't when it's just you and your family looking at things. So really take the opportunity to share your product, share your fledgling business with the world, but do it in a safe way. I wouldn't suggest just blasting everything out on social media or, you know, trying to get like newsworthy press right away necessarily, but definitely share what you're doing with the world, because that's where your support and your partnerships and that valuable feedback are going to come from.
What is your best-selling item?
Our best-selling item by far would have to be our shadow box displays, or our frames, sometimes we call them. Uh-huh. They're really kind of our bread and butter. That's what people tend to gravitate towards. Mm-hmm. I will say that people usually fall head over heels in love with just about all of our products, not to brag. but that's the one I would say that sells the most and that I think people are happier with. And they tend to buy them in sets. They love them. They have to have more than one. And so that's been really cool, because that's definitely one of our products that we spend the most time on, and it's definitely paid off.
What's your favorite insect?
Well, when I was a kid, I was really partial to cicadas and beetles. The cicadas were always my favorite. More recently, kind of I would have to be certain beetles, because that's kind of why I started the business. There's a really cool little beetle called a dogbane beetle that's pretty prevalent throughout the U.S. and other parts of the world. And they're just these really tiny, you know, rainbow-colored, brightly colored beetles. And seeing one of those was what sparked my imagination again when I was in college, when I was home for a visit. And so that is kind of the beetle that you will see its silhouette as part of our our brand and some of our products. So that's kind of our symbol of where we've come from and how far we're going, is that little green beetle. So that's definitely my favorite.
This is really, really interesting. And I'm excited for your success at the One of the Kind show. That's great.
Thank you.
So thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
Thank you. You have a great day.
You too.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Modern Makers Podcast. This production has been made possible by the Webster University School of Communications, producer Jim Singer, and production assistant Lindsay Schwartz. I'm host Julia Griffey. For more information, visit our website, www.modernmakersproject.com.